and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, a day 446. How are we all doing? How do we get to 446, Mike?
Hot and bothered.
I'm hot and bothered. And obviously, hot and bothered, and I've had to turn the fan off. Not a happy bunny. Not a happy bunny. But never mind. It'll all work out in the end. Hello, Sarah. Hello, Renee. And Jonathan coming in for bronze on Two Show Friday. So, hello, Sarah. Hello, Renee. Hello, Jonathan. Sarah can't believe she's first. Congratulations. We always have to have that, don't we? CQ, Deb. CQ. Renee's got rain. Send it my way, Renee. It's horrible here. Poor Izzy. Let's have a look what Izzy's saying. Izzy never got hung up on the pin board again. I'm going to need three pairs of glasses to see what Izzy's saying. Izzy's saying 88, which is 33, I think. It's not good. Basically, it's warm. Not enjoying the heat at all. Hello, Kim. So what have we all been doing? So exciting.
Subscribing to the MacBytes list.
Who has?
I have.
Oh, right.
It's a long story.
I did see a subscription, but it wasn't you.
Yeah, we got somebody, yes.
No. It looked like a maintenance subscription to me. In the back end of one of the websites, the one I think I said was broken.
Yes.
With the PHP update.
Yeah.
We've not had time to have a meeting to even discuss that. So no idea what's going on there. Hello, Tony. Kim has been mulching the garden. Is this a technical term of which I'm unaware?
No, I was unsubscribing and subscribing and unsubscribing and subscribing to test the form. And I resubscribed, but I didn't do the double opt-in thing. So then I wondered why I didn't get tonight's email.
And I'm wondering why my inbox is overflowing. And that would be the notification.
So then I've just had to go back through half a dozen of those... please confirm your subscription to find the right one. So now I'm subscribed.
Oh, bless him. Oh, see what we've got to deal with. Oh, Sarah's been away for a couple of days. Wonderful. Managed to have some nice weather whilst you were gone. And the rain as soon as you got back. If you could send that my way, that would be much appreciated. Tony says you've got form.
What sort of form? Oh, yeah, very
fun.
Well,
Renee's created his trio. Fantastic. Oh, poor Simon.
Simon, I feel your pain.
He don't know, he says he can't join us. Probably in the chat, but talking to his mum.
I'll type then.
Yes, because Mike's had a bit of that today.
No, I did that last week.
Oh, what we did here today is that the R8's gone up, surprise, surprise. And do you want to tell them how your mother's trip went?
It went very well.
Apart from the train?
She was jam-packed on the train, so... there was no social distancing on that. Youngsters weren't social distancing at the station. Rob rang whatever it's called, British Rail or whoever it is, and tried to reserve her a seat. And they said, well, we can reserve you a ticket, but not a specific seat or even guarantee you a seat.
Do you know, the trains in this country are a complete farce. I went to London, and it was unusual, it was on a train. I think in the... do you remember when I went with Mum? Can't remember why we went on the train. Maybe there was an issue parking. But we ended up going on the train. And we booked a seat, and we booked like... we wanted like a forward-facing seat. It was like sardines. We did actually get a seat, but they put half of your ticket in the top of the seat. But other people just take them out and move them. And apparently that's allowed. And they wonder why people get annoyed. But on the way back, we'd booked a certain train. And we were at the station about an hour and a half early because we'd finished what we were doing. And, you know, we booked in. And it was like, yeah, we got four trains going out to Manchester before then. So it was like, well, can we go on one of those? No. So we said, okay, fair enough. You know, are they full? No. Well, why can't we just go on one of those then? And it would free up the rush hour train that we were booked on. No, you got a ticket for that one. You can only go on that one. We ended up sitting in the station for an hour 45 waiting. which is like, that's just ludicrous. It's run by automatons and not humans. So not the best experience. Me on a train is not good. Let's just put it like that. I am not good on a train. I like to be under my own horsepower. Right, I'm going to have a look up mulching. Right, this is clearly a technical term. Right, let me have a look. I've probably not done any of this ever. That actually looks like that stuff Mum put down. You know the stuff she tipped out the pots?
Mm.
And then it grew like topsy with weeds. Just reclassified them as flowers and be done. Oh, right, I see. Okay, that looks like dirty work. Yeah, I'll stay inside. Watch from the window, Kim. I have done stuff like that, but, you know, once was enough. Now it's like just plant plastic if you need to and be done. Oh, dear. Hello, Anthony. Yeah, Sarah was up at 7 doing yoga on the jetty. Wow. No, guess what? I was not up at 7 doing yoga anywhere. Oh. Right. Jonathan says, the trains in the UK are laughable at times, usually 90% of the time. That's my experience, but I haven't been on them enough. The only trains I've ever been on and thought, like, they are actually a marvel of science today. And the fact that they've been there for like 120 odd years is amazing. The Underground, the London Underground. I mean, there have been odd occasions where a train has been late. But the thing with the Underground is you don't particularly know when the trains are due. It's just like the next train will come in and then you just get on it. And they seem to be incredibly frequent. But this particular day, I shouldn't even have been on the Underground. And from memory, Finchley isn't an underground. It is on the Underground, but I think it's an overground underground station, only in the UK. So I'm there at Finchley Station and I'm hopping from foot to foot. I was going to head into college with my car because although I was staying in Finchley, which is in North London, it's probably about 12, 13 miles as the crow flies from where I needed to be. I was driving into college because I was leaving from college to go home. So I was taking my car with me. Only it wouldn't start. It was in that mood. So I couldn't. So I had to grab everything, which is not easy. When back in the day, before Kindles, before iPads, before even laptops, you had to carry all these books with you. Case books. And the case books were like £4 each in my pilot's case. So I had to hair off to Finchley Station. Gets there and it says next train 12 minutes. And I thought, That's quite a long time for a train. I always have this feeling on the Underground that they're every 2 minutes. But no, it was a 12-minute wait. So again, hopping from foot to foot because I've got to get into central London. And once I got to the other end, I think I needed to change at King's Cross and head out to West Kensington, which is on like a branch line. So this was not an easy manoeuvre. So sits there waiting. It said, you know, 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 4 minutes. I thought, thank God for that. And I glanced back up and it said 6 minutes. I thought, what? And I looked again, 8 minutes. I thought, is it going backwards? Apparently that's quite common, but I'd never seen it before. Turned out there was some issue because it was on the Northern Line, Finchley, isn't it? I think someone had thrown themselves under, which is messy in more ways than one because the Northern Line, you've got no options. You can't just go round. The Northern Line's a nightmare. Eventually I got there, but when I got to the other end, I was that late, I had to run. Now, me running on any occasion, not a pretty sight. Me running with my pilot's case in one hand and my briefcase in the other, even worse. At least I was balanced. Oh, so yes, train's not good on any level. Oh, Kim and Keeve are up at 5:30. Oh, you're just amazing. Having said that, you know, I didn't get to bed till 5:30, did I?
I was up at 5.
You were, actually. You were. So I only headed to bed. I was probably... Now, I wasn't asleep at 5:30, but I was nodding off.
Jonathan says the London Underground would be amazing if it was air-conditioned. So my brother said to me, Mum, make sure you sit by the window and open it, you know, to get air circulating. So he said, and did you sit by the window? She said, yes, but they wouldn't open. I've been in trains like that where the window won't open.
I've only been, well, to be honest, I can't give a particularly detailed opinion of that, because one, I've been on so few trains, and two, the British weather doesn't normally allow for it, does it?
No.
I'm thinking of one occasion where I was somewhere, and I think it was warm, and we decided having the window open would be a good idea, but it didn't really matter because it leaked. When we were on that boat, we were on a tour of Salford Quays. It was a boat, wasn't it? Wasn't it a barge? Well, yeah, so was it sort of a barge? Anyway, yeah. We had to mop up the water that was coming in because, you know, Manchester, it was raining.
Yeah, it was a barge.
With napkins. And I thought, the way this is going, we could well sink. Oh, what a day that was. Right.
Who signed in first? It was Sarah, wasn't it?
It was Sarah.
It was Sarah, Tony.
Yay. Anthony once stayed at a hotel which was above the underground line. You could feel the vibrations of the train going underneath. Only very slightly, but if you were lying just quietly in bed, you could feel it. Do you know, I watch a channel on YouTube. What's he called? Jago Hazard. And it's all about the underground, the history of the underground today. It's absolutely fascinating. I love it. And some of the stuff, one was why there wasn't a station nearer to Harrods. I think it was Harrods. It was either Harrods or Selfridges. Could have been Selfridges, actually, on reflection. And the history of it was there is actually a station underneath there. But a lot of the posher houses round there refused to let them build because they didn't want the rumbling underneath. Oh, you wonder how London doesn't sink, don't you? When you think of the mass of underground network that is there and everything else going on, it's I find that kind of engineering fascinating.
Ooh, Sarah, you've uploaded it correctly. I've just been to have a look. It's like one of those posh sheds that Deb's posted the other day.
Oh, the glam sheds?
Yeah.
No, oh, I definitely need a glam shed.
Shepherd's Hut?
Yeah, I think we could just do with one with a roof and then we'd be all right. Rene lives a stone's throw from the railroad. He sometimes vibrates the bed when heavy freights pass. We're quite away from the railway. The nearest on it would be the metro line. So it was a railway thing until the metro took over, which is trams. So you wouldn't get... Originally, you would get a train from Sale into Manchester, but now you use the metro. Which works quite nicely, to be honest. It's a little bit more accessible than trains were. They were impenetrable in terms of what tickets you needed and stuff. Funniest thing with the train was when we went to our friend's house. He lives in a place called Rawtenstall, which is very... What would you say? Parochial?
Yeah.
Parochial. And there's this, like, train thing, but it's more like decorative. It's like a steam train type of thing that people go for, like, a day out on. So we went up there, and I said to Mike, the one thing that I really envy him is how quiet it is. And they had an extension built, and the extension extended the kitchen, and he's a musician. So he has this music room upstairs as well. And it's so quiet. So we're sitting there in this music room and I'm saying to Mike, oh, this would be fantastic for recording, wouldn't it? When all of a sudden there was this almighty hoot. I said, what the hell was that? And Pete starts laughing and he said, oh, that's the train. And this train, while you go past it and to get to his house, I would say it's a good 6-7 minutes to his house, isn't it? And you wouldn't think you would hear it. You're actually kind of going the circuitous route to his house. And when you look out the bedroom window, you can actually see this train. So although it's a long way to get from the train to his house, you can actually see it. And if you can see it, you can hear it. And he says, every 25 minutes, you've got to work round it. And I suddenly said to Mike, no, I think I'll stay where I am. We do have aircraft because we're quite close to the airport. But not that much that it makes noise problems. Do you remember they used to give free double glazing to everybody in Stockport?
Yeah.
We're further out than that. But we got the double glazing, so it's not to worry. Oh, so much fun. Tony was trying to work out how to upload a picture onto Slack, but I assume it's there now.
No, Sarah was.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting confused there. That's because it says Tony and I thought that was the who it was from, but it's not. Sorted it. Oh, Seattle has an underground city from back in the day. You've taken the tour. Oh, wow. Is it used for transport or what was it used for? We've got a secret bunker in Manchester, you know.
I know. I remember reading about it.
Yeah, it's not open for, obviously, secret bunker. It's not open to visit, but there are a couple of videos. Just a couple of videos at this place. And apparently it was like going to be an underground comms station in the event of the war turning nasty, where maybe there was like poisonous gas outside. One's in Manchester, one's in London, and I think there are two others. Bristol would kind of make sense, wouldn't it? But I'm not sure. But these things, they have like air vents that come out in places in the city. So you might see this air vent and think nothing of it. And it's actually this underground bunker. But it wasn't a railway or anything. It was just a bunker. So let me know. So the place you were staying is the glamping thing. Is it the glamping thing? Kim was commenting on the staircase picture that you posted on Slack. Ah, right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I shall have to go and have a look at that, won't I? So I'll see it. Have you got it open, Mike?
Sarah's picture.
Mm-hmm. Or the one that Tony's put up. One or the other.
I've got Sarah's picture.
If I have to open one more window, I think this machine will die a death. Oh, no, you see, that would be good, wouldn't it? I could turn that into a studio. I could very easily turn that
Tony's
into a studio.
Tony's picture is a carpet.
Oh, now, if you show me a picture of a carpet, I'm going to want the whole house done. It's so overdue. We have one fabulous carpet, don't we? Mind you, there might be a decent carpet in the back room. Don't know. Don't venture in there often.
I don't know where he posted it.
See, Mum decided she was having like brown furniture and then decided to have a brown carpet, then loathed the brown carpet. We, however, are stuck with the brown carpet. And we could have it replaced, but if we do, I'd need to take this cupboard out before it's done, because otherwise, if I took the cupboard out later, the carpet wouldn't fit.
Oh, it's
in critiques. You see how it turns into a major project? This is the problem. Oh, and then there's the issue of emptying the room, because the thought of emptying the office, it'd be like, do you know what? Can we just sand the boards down?
There you go. There's Tony's pictures.
Oh, now they look amazing. Extra glasses.
Got them, Tony. Cheers.
That doesn't look unlike ours, does it? Because we've got black paintwork like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks lovely. That really does look nice. Do you fancy it, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not going to happen, I'm afraid, but it does. It looks really nice. Couldn't finish the bottom. Now, you see what I mean? Isn't there always some kind of issue? I see what you mean with the herringbone thing. That's really nice. I like that. Oh, those tiles are gorgeous. Those tiles look very, very similar to the place where I was staying in Finchley. I think they're an original feature. They do look gorgeous. Oh, very nice. Yeah. Now you've got me thinking about carpet, particularly like the upstairs bit as well. It's a nice colour, that, too. Yep, that looks fantastic. Definitely need new carpet. Not happening yet, though. There you go, Mike. Oh, it's far too hot today. It's hideous. Oh. Oh, thank you for that link, Kim. I shall go and have a look at that, the underground. Tiles are new, hence the problem. They look like classic style, though, don't they? Do you remember the other day? Once you've seen this, you're never going to forget it, so I apologise in advance. But the other day, I was talking about a programme that I was watching, which was called Before We Die, I think. Anyway, I'd watched 3 episodes of it, and I think there was only one more to go, and I hadn't watched it. Anyway, I had it open in another browser because I had to watch it online. Long story. And if you remember, I mentioned, because I was watching it online, there was adverts in it, and I couldn't skip them. And one of these adverts I thought was a joke. I seriously thought this advert was a joke. I thought, oh, that's an advert for like a comedy show or something. Anyway, no, apparently it wasn't. It was a thing. But apparently this advert got banned in Ireland as being offensive. Now, I just thought it was downright stupid. just... Hence me thinking it was for a comedy show. Because I think it was Channel 4. And Channel 4 comedy shows, without exception, not funny. Anyway, this is the ad. Now, you'll need to actually watch it to get the gist of it. But I mentioned it and I think Kim laughed at it. Well, but you've got to see that the full ad, Kim. So that is the ad. I'll leave you to watch that. Obviously, it's tongue-in-cheek, but really? Unfortunately, I don't think I've ever seen... Mind you, I don't watch ads or TV, do I? I don't think I've ever seen it on our TV, so I don't know if it was banned here and if it's only available online. Not a great advert at all. Oh, you should see the comments on YouTube, though. They love it. Ooh. History alone. Is that the one where they're dropped off somewhere and then have to get back to somewhere? Get back to civilization. Is that the one? Let's have a look. And what's the first thing I see? Win a copy of Sex, Lessons from History. Dr. Fern Riddell. Lovely. Oh, it's taken me to History UK. So let me see if I can find it in there.
What's she squeaking?
She's squeaking chicken, I think.
No, she's squeaking something else.
Oh, what's that? What was he up to? She's squeaking a new toy. Leave her be. I don't think we've got that here, Kim.
Don't you go in the garden?
In fact, it's bizarre because there's a YouTube video and you can't see it. It's disappeared. Punishing environments, but there's nothing there. Yes, OMG, the commercial. It was the comments that got me. The problem with something like that, does it offend me? Not particularly. Do I think it's appropriate for the TV? No, I don't. Because adverts have a habit of creating catchphrases. So, get them up there, girls. I could see becoming a catchphrase. And I pity girls that are at school these days, where everything is so open and all the lads are laughing about it. So I don't think I would have put that up there myself. When I say put that up there, I mean the ad. I don't think I'd have created that advert myself. And no, is it in good taste? Not really. But the comments are like, oh, people are being prudish. And I'm like, I don't think so. It's just... There's a distinction between being open and honest when you're talking about stuff like that and having it shoved down your throat while you're watching dinner. That would be my take on it, but unbelievable. Oh, dear me. It was very obvious. Always used to be women prancing around. She never knew what the product was exactly. Oh... These women do not have women friends to talk to about these things. Well, I always remember back, Kim. I mean, I'm going back a bit, but didn't they used to come with instructions? Because they did when I was a kid. You know, when you get a packet for the first time and you're looking at it thinking, no, I'm going to need instructions. The instructions were there. They were just written. But everybody seems to need a tagline and a... Yeah, No. Can you imagine me sitting there watching that drama? And I couldn't turn the sound off because you can't wind it back. If you wind it back, you've got to watch all the ads again. So I'm trying to minimise the ads to start with. And that one comes on. And I did honestly think it was an advert for a comedy show. But no, apparently not. But I can honestly say I've never discussed stuff like that with a lady friend. I mean, I'm not going to say to a friend who happens to be female, you know, how do you use them? Really? Is that a thing? No, read the instructions. I'll admit, the instructions weren't half in tiny print, but there were instructions in the box. And I'm pretty sure there was not a tagline of get it up there, girls. No, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. There you go. Oh, Anthony, quote of the day. It's like toilet paper. You don't need an ad to show you how to use the product. Give it time, Anthony. Give it time. I mean, in relation to that, I don't know if you've ever seen any, Anthony, but I went to a college for an event. So it wasn't for children. This college was university level, so 18 plus. And they had a room that you could hire, and the company in question had actually hired this room. It was like a lecture theatre. And on the way out, Mike came to pick me up. So he had the bags. So I said, I just need to go to the toilet. So I went in the toilets, and there was instructions on the wall of how to use them. And I thought, have I just entered a time warp? What on earth? They were in multiple languages, and there was pictures. I'm kidding you not. There were pictures of how to use the toilet. And the reasoning was that there were so many foreign students that they used toilets differently where they'd come from, and they were standing on them, and the toilets wouldn't take it. So they actually had pictures showing you how to sit down, and I'm just shaking my head as I'm leaving. So, Anthony, you say that, but I could see the day. Let's just put it like that. I could see the day. Oh. We do know all about lady pipes. I wonder when they'll be advertised on the TV. Renee, never say that marooned is not educational. Now we all know. There are no words, are there? There are no words. But it was banned in Ireland, so at least it had some sense in Ireland. But the people in the chat were like, there's nothing wrong with that, there's nothing wrong with that. And I thought, not in the context of if you go looking for it. So if it's on the website of the company and you were in any doubt of exactly how to use it, then go check it. But to put it on TV, I don't think that's necessary. Like I say, you know, I remember boys doing the thing of pinging bra straps and stuff. You know, when girls are at a sensitive age, I thought that could be, mind you, I was very glad, put it like that. When I was 12, I know 11, and when I was 11, you go to what we call high school here. And I went to Lym Grammar, which was a mixed school. Had to be a mixed school because it was such a tiny place, you know, it didn't warrant two schools. So, and I'd been at mixed primary schools. But when we moved, I was 12. And we moved to where we are now, and I had to resit what we call the 11 plus, which is, back then it was an exam to see, you know, if you were clever enough for a grammar school or if you're going to the local comprehensive. So the local comprehensive being mixed education. So Mum was like, do your best, because, you know, she did not want 4 years of me at school in a mixed environment because I had not enjoyed the first year with the boys. But luckily, I passed and I ended up going to the girls' grammar school. Since then, Sale Girls' Grammar and Sale Boys' Grammar have merged, and it's now just Sale Grammar. So unfortunately, there's boys again, but 4 years bliss without the boys. And I just think, you know, poor girls going through this for the first time who may not be able to speak to their mum about it. And you don't particularly talk to your friends in a sensible way. It's all giggling on. You know, if you really needed assistance, I don't think I'd have turned to my friends. And now you've got adverts like that on. And I can imagine the boys with, you know, have you got one up here today? I can, honestly. But the boys I went to school with were just like that. So I think it should be a website only thing. Get it off the TV. Oh. Kim worked at a girls' camp for 4 years. Not everyone can read and need help from their friends. I don't recall I ever being asked about anything like that or needing to ask about anything because I can read. So I would just read it. You know me. It was like Google before its day. But I guess so. But I don't honestly think that as an advert would particularly help greatly. Renee once walked past a condom dispenser and someone had written on it, "Worst chewing gum I ever had." Oh, that was genius, Renee.
That sounds like Alverston.
I was just going to say Alverston.
I came in at the right time then.
You did. That was the first time we went, wasn't it? 2017.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how it all happened. I think, Mike, you just went to the toilet, didn't you?
Yeah.
And came back. And obviously there was a condom dispensing machine. But there was also this other machine. And it dispensed rings. So Mike came back and he said, you don't believe what's in the gents. I thought, oh, good grief, what now? So he said, there's a machine and it dispenses rings. I said, rings of what? So he said, rings. So I said, I'm not with you. I said, go back in and take a picture. So I actually sent him back into the gents. There he is, camera in hand, with like, I'm going to have to make sure nobody's there or they'll think I'm taking pictures of him. So he comes back and he says, there you go. And there's this dispensing machine with this ring thing in it. Well, obviously I got what it was. You know, bearing in mind, this venue, Alverston, is for older people. So I guess if somebody's gone on their own and they're after picking up a lady, then they might need one of these rings. These rings were like sex toys, I suppose, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Mike and I got
toys of an adult nature.
They were toys of an adult nature. And Mike and I understood what they were, and Chidge understood what they were. Rachel was a nurse. She understood what they were. In fact, she was laughing like a drain because she said easy twice a month. Somebody would come in and they'd have one stuck and they would have to ease it off, as it were. Nina could not make head nor tail of it. And we tried explaining. We even did the Google so she had some pictures. Well, she was like somebody's ancient granny, wasn't she? She was like, oh my God. And all night, all we could get out of her, like every like 10 minutes, she was thinking about it. She went, oh my God, why? It became a standing joke. You'll pardon the pun. Oh, it was classic, that. So when we went back a couple of years later, I said to Mike, the machine's still there. Apparently it is. Can you imagine? I mean, on what planet do you go away for a nice quiet weekend and walk into the gents and find a dispensing machine for toys of an adult nature?
I don't know.
Do you think it's just us? It's just us that find these things.
Was it February 2017?
Yes, it was.
So I'm
going
to find the
picture. Oh, my. But I'm loving Renee's worst chewing gum I ever had. Genius. Oh, Anthony, you wouldn't want to be making tea and your child say, what do they mean, get it up, girls? That's what I mean. If you need help, then obviously it's there for you. Just not a nicety. Also, you know, I have to wonder why purveyors of toys of a lady's nature need to advertise. Because it's not something you can say, do you know what? I'm not buying that anymore. It's not an option. So why do you really need to advertise? Oh, the other thing that makes me laugh with that is when it says, like, we have a phrase in this country. Kim, let me know if it's in the States. Period poverty. Basically, it's like children, well, young people who can't afford sanitary products. Oh. Yes, exactly, Lola. Exactly, that's what I thought. So some of the manufacturers then put adverts on the TV saying that they are donating. So when you buy their product, they're donating to schools. And I'm like, awesome. So I'm paying twice then. I just think that's a really silly way of advertising
February
it myself.
February 2017.
Oh, look at that. Was that when we met you for the first time?
Hey. When I did a FaceTime.
Oh, look at you. She's getting very giddy. Yes, I know, Lola. I'm hungry, Daddy.
She's had one.
I'm going to food shame you, Father, until you give me something. Oh, it's not a thing in the States. Wow, it's a big thing here, Kim. So the manufacturers are covering themselves in glory by saying that they're donating. But the thing is, you know, well, where are they donating from? If they're donating from their standard profits, fine. But when you find that the price has gone up by, you know, 50 pence or a pound a packet, that's where it's coming from. So the ones who are paying for it are paying for themselves and somebody else. I mean, if yes, Lola, I tell you what, I'll give you that. You'd be good. Because I'm just about to say, if we couldn't afford to feed the dog, if we didn't provide the dog with what she needed, we'd be locked up. So why should it be different with children? It was your choice to have them. You know, they need certain things. Girls more so. So I don't understand that. Because they're not differentiating. They're saying there's this thing of period poverty, but then everybody at school gets it free because they don't want it to turn into a school meals fiasco where you've got to have a ticket, which I understand that bit of it. But We've managed up to now, but apparently it's a thing. So yeah, we get that rammed down our throats as well. Oh, so that was fun, wasn't it? Do you think they should all just get a lady pipe and be done?
Mm.
Do you know what we're going to have to do before this COVID thing's all over and done with? We are actually going to have to get a lady pipe and do an unboxing. That would be epic. Oh, absolutely fabulous. Do we have news, Mike, yet of when this weather's going away? Because I could definitely do with that as well.
No.
Let's have a quick look. 80% chance of rain on Monday. Well, that's not bad, but the rest of the week is sunshine. Yeah, not good. Because the thing is, if we have like one day of rain and then loads of days of sunshine, the hedges grow. Then the hedges need cutting, and that means leaving the house. Oh, the R rate's gone up today, but like Kim said a few days ago, that's kind of just ignored these days, isn't it? It's like, oh, the R rate's gone up. Yeah, but we're not counting the R rate anymore. Which I could well believe. So apparently at the moment it's between 1.1 and 1.2. Didn't they say, if I heard correctly, Mike, that the cases had risen by 74.3% this week?
Yeah.
That's scary. It's even, I mean, if that had happened, that would be bad enough. Because obviously the restrictions have changed. But given the fact that people are, well, many, many, many millions have had the vaccine, how can it be rising like that? Not good. Not good. Still going up. We better not talk about things going up. I'll never be able to watch that film Up anymore. No, not after that. I might get over it eventually. It's boiling hot where we are, Sarah. Boiling hot. It's muggy and... We did have a bit of rain the other night, didn't we? There was a lovely breeze for like 30 seconds and then it went. So no, we are still yucky warm. Horribly warm and not enjoying it. I need to be where Sarah is, clearly. You see, Sarah, it was that bad. Sarah was going for a walk on the beach and decided otherwise. No, I'm just lying here waiting for it to be cooler. It's not bad when I can put the big fan on, but obviously this big fan is like, you know, 2.5 foot wide and it's quite cool sat in front of it. But for example, so today I gets to bed really late or early, depending on how you look at it. And I had a 12 o'clock session. So I gets up, comes in for the 12 o'clock session. First thing I did, put the fan on. So the computer and I are sitting there basking in the glory of this huge fan. Gets logged into the session to find out that the host didn't have a co-host. So he pinged me privately because I did it last week for him. And he said, can you co-host? I thought, darn it. Now I need a microphone, which means I've got to turn the fan off. So I said, yes, that's fine. And turned the fan off. Oh, then I got slung into two breakout rooms with people as well. So that was great fun. Slobodan from Austria today was one. I think the other one was Gabriel. So lovely to chat, but I'm sitting here, you know, sweat running down my back, thinking I could really do without fan on. So once it was over, I did get the fan back on. But now the fan has had to go off again. It'll be back on for an hour and then it'll be off again for marooned. Tell you what, turn it on and let's see how bad it is. So at the moment, we'll give you like 10 seconds. No, not just yet. I'll be quiet and this is what it sounds like naturally. And then we'll turn the fan on. Right, how bad is that? Let me know. Because if you can't hear a difference, I'm leaving it on. Unfortunately, the way that we've got it positioned, it is actually in front of the microphone with me. So I would expect that you could definitely hear it. I'm wondering if we could sit it to the side or something. I do remember when we had that Mac last year, you know, when it was overheating right and left. We had a fan on the desk and you guys said you couldn't hear it. Renee says it's not that bad.
Probably, it's not that bad.
It's probably not that good either. I might put the little one on then. I might put the little one on and have it behind the microphone. Because the microphone's got rear ejection. Right, turn that one off, Mike, and let's get the other one and see if we can do that. I think there's a plug socket down there, isn't there?
This one.
Give me that one. And then can you try plugging it in down there? We'll do some testing in marooned. Right. No, you'd have to unplug it.
That's not
going to do it. Oh, that made a bit of a noise. Right, I'll put it there. So it's behind the microphone. And down there, there should be a spare plug. Just a minute. Take it behind the microphones. There we go. Oh, hang on. Don't take my mug with you. My Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the wee donkey mug.
Oh, that was so funny last night.
That was a classic.
I don't see a spare.
Oh, there must be one. Is there one on the flat floor? Is there one on the tower? You just don't unplug a drive. You unplug everything, but don't unplug a drive. Have you tried the Dyson fan? Is that the one that's like a weird shape? Wouldn't on principle, can't be doing with Dyson. But I agree with you. That might solve a problem. But I don't really like Dyson. Jonathan. See you later, Jonathan.
Jonathan's already in after hours.
Is he really? Oh.
Can you give me a torch?
A torch. There we go. Poor Mike's kneeling on the floor now trying to sort it out. Well, if that one wasn't too noisy, then this one might be absolutely fine. Because one, it's behind the microphone. And two, it's about a third of the size. So all we've got to do is get it into position, which is what Mike's doing. Well, actually, it's in position. Yeah. The only issue now is that, whatever you've done, Mike, it's turned on. Right, so is that any different? Mike's going to give me a test as well. Oh, that's blissful. For me, that's blissful. The fan is now behind the microphone, the little one, which is it's an 8-inch fan, but it's nice. So let me know. Can you hear that? Oh, it feels lovely. I'm enjoying that. What's wrong with James? From interviews that I've seen and things that he has come out and said, he's not my type of person, let's put it like that. Didn't he take production away from the UK or something?
Something like that.
Wasn't he pro-Brexit? But then he took the work away from British workers and took it abroad and then put the prices up. And people went mental. And I thought, what an idiot. What a born idiot. Some of the stuff looks decent, some of the stuff less so. Kim doesn't hear it as much. Excellent. Anthony's got a Dyson air purifier, but it's quite noisy if you're running at high speed. Oh, good, Renee. No problem for Renee. Excellent. We did this last year when I had the old computer, if you remember, and it was going mad. I must admit, today, I don't know whether I was just in a particularly charitable mood or not, I was sitting here and I was handbreaking a load of files. Each file was about 100 meg. Was it meg or gig? Gig, 100 gig. So processing 100 gig video files at the same time as I was exporting 5 files from Camtasia. And the machine was fine. Didn't even break into a sweat in this heat. And I must admit, I had that moment that I haven't had for a long time. Where I thought to myself, Apple Kit's good. Honestly, I have not had that feeling in a while. But it coped admirably, so I was very, very happy. Right. Sarah can hardly hear it. Keep it. Oh, more comfortable. You must be joking. It's making it survivable. The Dyson stick vac. Scratch the hardwood floor. Oh, wow. I think my dad had a car vac that you plug into like the car extension thing, the cigarette lighter in a car. I think his was Black & Decker. But the problem with all of those, you had one, didn't you? A grey one at the flat.
Yeah.
And this wasn't a Dyson or anything, and I think it was fairly primitive. But whenever you tipped it upside down, everything came out, which is a bit of a problem with a vacuum cleaner. Anyway, tell them what I did to you last night.
What did you do to me last night? Oh, yes.
You were the one that mentioned it, Mike.
I went to a Catania meeting last night, and the president of the circle, he was talking about his chosen charity. Now, as most of you know, our chosen charity when we were president was the Guide Dogs, and his chosen charity was like a refuge for the homeless, and it's called Mary and Joseph House. So what
Which
did you do?
I reminded Mike of something. So, well, I wasn't at the meeting, was I? Mike texted me and said, this is the charity. Well, did you actually say it reminded you of the wee donkey?
No. I was going to, but I couldn't find a donkey icon.
It's a horse. You have to use the horse.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he says the charity is Mary and Joseph House. So I said, roll on the floor. Roll on the floor, left my arse off. Is it a wee donkey sanctuary? And sent it back to him. And what happened, Mike?
I started snickering with the camera on.
So he's been dead serious announcing his charity and it's for the homeless and Mike's sniggering away on camera. Oh dear, sorry about that.
Actually, because he was Prezi last year as well and he said he's not doing a third term.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah, it was the same charity last year.
Ah, so I didn't know that.
If the line of duty had been on last year, then I'd have been snickering away when they did the presentation on it.
The funny thing is, I mean, it's a Hastingism that's become a thing. You know, he's been saying things like Mother of God throughout all six series. It was just that one was the sixth episode out of seven. And it was just a throwaway line, but he delivered it with such perfection. I mean, it's become a meme in its own right. It's just the way he said it.
Now the BBC marketing machine is making money out of it.
It was just such a perfect line. Such a perfect line. Oh, Sarah, that's the point. That's the point, Sarah. I've got a mug. The parish secretary. We always have a thing with the parish secretary. When I first started going in and helping out, what happened was it came up in the newsletter that they were looking for somebody to help with the tech side of it and a website. So we just joined the parish and I said, you know, well, I can do that. I'll give them a hand. So I got to know the parish secretary and she's got such a wicked sense of humour. So we were sorting out the newsletter and trying to like automate it a bit.
Yeah, the first time you met, you both had your airs and graces on.
We did. We were like, she was like, oh my God, she's so technical. I'm going to have to be on my best behaviour. And I'm like, oh, it's the parish secretary. I'm going to have to be on my best behaviour. And within 10 minutes, we were just rolling on the floor laughing. So she has this thing. So we're sorting out the newsletter and she says like, this bit's got to be right and that bit's got to be right. And once I did this and people ring. And instead of speaking to her, they ask to speak to the priest on a private matter. And they complain about the newsletter. There was a word out. She missed a comma out. And people really do that. And I was poleaxed. Couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. And I mean, there was something that followed that. But at that stage, I said, like, seriously? And she said, oh, yeah. And then she said, I just sit here sometimes and think, get a life. So we've got this thing between us of get a life. You know, if you've got nothing else to do but ring the parish priest to say that the parish secretary missed a comma out of the newsletter, you've got bigger problems than you can imagine. Another thing that happened, and this made me even more incredulous, was if the priest did something, and what I mean, like, something innocuous, you know, he moved a statue from one side of the church to the other or something like that. So we are not talking, you know, we're not talking hellfire and damnation. We're just talking like he decided that, you know, maybe the hymn books would be better on the left than the right. People wrote an anonymous letter to him to complain. And he was telling me this and I'm like, just stop that. Anonymous. He said, oh yeah. Don't put the name to it. I couldn't believe it.
It's written in cutout newspaper letters.
Well, he said, oh, well, that's when they bother to tell me. But apparently some things... So when he first joined, people wanted certain things happening. There's an altar rail at our church. If you don't know what an altar rail is, it, as the name implies, it's like a little fence around the altar. And it was a thing years ago. All altars were like that. But once Vatican II happened and everything got trendy and we dumped the Latin masses and stuff, more modern churches don't have an altar rail. It's like ring fencing the altar and they don't have that. But ours is marble and it's built in and there's not much you can do about it. You could, I guess, have it removed, but it would be a big job because it's like part of the altar. It was built that way. But there's a gap at the front, obviously, so the priest can get in and out and you can get in and out as a Eucharistic minister. And there was a cord across it. like you would see in a shopping centre when you've got like two metal posts and a cord between them. And people started, I think they assumed a new priest had arrived and they could kind of get away with stuff. So it was like, oh, well, we're going to have this altar rail removed. And he knew full well they were not going to have this altar rail removed. So he had to say, no, that's not happening. So at that stage, I mean, it's there. It would cost money to get rid of it. Why would you do that? So he's kind of said, well, no, that's not what I took from the meeting minutes of the parish council. So he just carried on with the same approach that the previous priest had taken. Somebody wrote to the bishop to complain that he wasn't open to new ideas. So he decided we'd go for the middle ground and he'd get rid of the cord that went across. So this altar rail now that has a gap in the middle has a hook on either side and there's nothing hooked on it, right? So that was the middle ground. Somebody wrote to the bishop and complained he was bringing in modern ideas. So I have great fun with the parish secretary, trust me on that. So it was coming up to my birthday and she pinged me and she said, there's a little something for you in the porch. And she said, no office should be without one. So when I opened it, it's this mug. I think we did put a picture, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it says Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the wee donkey. And it's on my desk. So when Mike said, Mary and Joseph house. Yeah, sorry about that, Mike. I should warn you if a text is coming in, shouldn't I? Like that. Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, poor Dee. Missing Maroon because of people. Damn people. But you'll be free for after hours. Oh. That's okay. We'll catch up then, Dee.
Jesus, Mary and the effing donkey, as I say to Lola.
That's just rude, Mike. That's bad words. Mike obviously has to make it worse than it is. Oh, my word.
That's when she's dragging me across the road.
Oh, she's lovely.
She is.
Yes, Kim, some people complain about anything. You just can't win, honestly. But the fact that somebody, one of his own congregation, would send him an anonymous letter. I mean, if you've got something to say, put your name to it. I was blown away. But what got me, what made it worse was the fact that he wasn't. That, you know, he'd been a priest for, I think it's about 30 years now. And that's just accepted behaviour. That happens all the time. And I was incredulous. So I was so incredulous. I remember him turning around and saying, well, clearly it wasn't you then because you're too shocked. I went, no, it wasn't me. If I got something to say, I'd say it to your face. But yeah, that happens a lot. So if a mail, if a letter, you know, with a stamp turns up and it's like written in block capitals, he knows it's an anonymous complaint. These people, honestly, they have more time than brain cells. More time than brain cells. Oh, but what can you do? Right, shall we head off and sort ourselves out?
Because
we have to rejig things so I can move the fan. Because at the moment I can't see the iPad. So we're going to have a swift reorganisation because it's just so warm. So bear with us on that. But we will, of course, be back at 9 o'clock. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.